Thank you for your word, Father. May you speak to us today through your word, by the help of your Holy Spirit, that we might be empowered and encouraged to proclaim that your Son Jesus is the Christ. Amen. I have to say right at the beginning that I'm only going to deal with the first 18 verses of this chapter. This is probably because my voice won't last out for the whole chapter. And it's a passage about two things. One is the message that Paul preached to the Jews and the Greeks in Corinth. And the second is the encouragement that he received to do this from four separate sources. So we'll look at the message first that Paul preached, and then we'll move on to explore the four sources of encouragement that he received to do this. We heard last week that Paul had been in Athens as part of his second missionary journey. Athens was a city of intellectual prowess in Greece. And now he moves on to Corinth. Now Corinth is only about 37 miles from Athens. It's not that far, but it's a very different city, a city of great commerce. And it was also a proud city of its culture, and also a very immoral city as well. And it was because of the pride and the sexual immorality of the city that Paul decided when he got to Corinth that all he was going to do was to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that was a very, very powerful message to the city of such pride and sexual immorality, because it challenged the people at the very deepest level, because it was a call to self-humbling and of self-denial. And this is the message that Paul preached, taught and reasoned with the Jews and the Greeks in the synagogue. He was debating in the synagogue, though only on the Sabbath, at least to begin with, when he first arrived in Corinth. The synagogue was the place where Paul always started his preaching and teaching. He began always to his fellow Jews. And he proclaimed the gospel to them, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, of him crucified and him risen from the dead. And he worked very, very hard at this. And he only went to the Gentiles when his fellow Jews opposed him, rejected him, and often threw him right out of the synagogue. And that message that Paul preached, the one of Christ crucified and risen from the dead, has not changed over the years. It's the same message we preach today, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he came, he died to forgive us our sins, he rose again from the dead, and he's alive today. It's the same message, isn't that great? I can't believe that I can stand here today and preach the same message that Paul did all those years ago. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. And but the message also that Paul preached in Corinth was one that challenged the pride and the wealth of that city and the culture. And the message is the same today to our city of London, to challenge its pride of its wealth and its culture and its sexual immorality. Our city is just as bad as Corinth was all those years ago. And we have this message to preach to our city, the same message to preach in both word and in deed. We are called to live humble lives, full of humility and full of self-denial. The lives that we lead will preach as much to our, the people in our city as any words that we can preach. Same message today to a city that is just as proud and immoral as Corinth was. And Paul debates and discusses with people both in the synagogue and elsewhere about the gospel. He'd been doing that in Athens, and it had probably been a very, very demanding time for him because he was doing it day after day. And he'd done it without any respite. There'd been no let up for him. And when he moves to Corinth, it's with much fear and much trembling. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. Nor is my preaching with wise and persuasive words either. But it sounds like Paul was exhausted when he arrived in Corinth from Athens, and he could do with a rest. And Paul needed some encouragement. So the message that he had proclaimed in Athens, he now proclaims in Corinth, but he needs encouragement to do that. And he decided that all he would do was know Christ and him crucified. Ministry is hard work. It's especially hard work when you've been unwell all week. But God is good, and I didn't need to be well yesterday or Friday or Thursday or Wednesday. I just needed to be well enough today. So praise the Lord for that. But ministry is hard work. And we can face as much opposition today as Paul did when he was in Athens and when he was in Corinth. Because to proclaim the message of Christ crucified is not popular. No one wants to hear today that they need to give up their pride and their immorality and follow Christ. And yet, that is the message that we are here to proclaim, just as it was the message that Paul had to proclaim. And just because it's hard work doesn't mean to say we shouldn't get on and proclaim it either. But very often we need encouragement to do that. And Paul needed encouragement. He was exhausted after Athens. He came to Corinth in fear and trembling and weakness, and he needed encouragement. So we're now going to move on and look at where that encouragement came for him. And in these verses, we've got four, up from 1 to 18, we've got four sources of encouragement that Paul received. The first comes in verses 1 to 4. He teamed up with Priscilla and Aquila. They were Jews. They'd fled Rome by the order of Claudius, the ruler there. And he teams up with them because all three of them are tent makers. They're all in the same profession. They all do the same work. They say a change is as good as a rest. When I was still working part-time as a social worker, I actually used to look forward quite a lot to Monday to get up and go and do something completely different to what I'd done here on Sundays with a different set of people. I still had the same message to proclaim, though. But Paul occupies himself during the week with Priscilla and Aquila, and they make tents together. And it was a way that Paul could support himself, and he was still free on the Sabbath day to go into the synagogue and proclaim the message of Christ crucified and him risen from the dead. And in all probability, that tent making during the week and then going into the synagogue on the Sabbath to proclaim the message of Jesus as the Messiah gave him some respite from all those demands that had been upon him in Athens, of debating day after day after day without any respite. And it's good for us. It's good for us to be able to recoup our energies through the mutual encouragement of working alongside fellow professionals. Tomorrow, all of us will go and do something completely different to what we're doing here today. And some of us will be working with similar colleagues, and some of us will be working with different colleagues, but we will still be able to receive mutual encouragement from those colleagues, in the same way that Paul receives encouragement from Priscilla and Aquila in his tent, in their tent making together. And no one should think of their paid employment or their employment within the family or whatever it is as different to serving the Lord in the local church community. It's not an inconvenience, but a God-given context in which we can live out the gospel in a winsome, wholesome, non-judgmental way, demonstrating personal integrity, doing quality work, and developing caring relationships. And as I said, I worked part-time as a social worker over many years, and that supported my ministry here in St Mildred's. And it also provided me plenty of opportunities of speaking with colleagues, giving a reason as to why I might have a different attitude or behave differently in the workplace to other people because of my faith in Jesus Christ. Paul's tent making with Priscilla and Aquila encouraged and supported his ministry on the Sabbath in the synagogue. So whatever your employment or family commitments, whether you do paid or voluntary work, these are ministries that God has given to you all, and they are as important as any ministry you may have here in this church. And we should take encouragement from the people and the colleagues, the professionals that we work with when we are engaged in such ministry. So that's the first source of encouragement for us that Paul received here from Priscilla and Aquila. Then what happens next in verses 5-8? Silas and Timothy arrive in Corinth from Macedonia. Now, Silas had been chosen much earlier on by Paul as a missionary partner when he split up from Barnabas. They travelled a great deal together, preaching the gospel. In Philippi, they had even been imprisoned together, only to be miraculously released by an angel, followed by the wonderful conversion of the jailer and his whole family. So Paul and Silas had been through a great deal together in proclaiming the gospel. And his arrival with Timothy would add to the support and encouragement he was already receiving from Priscilla and Aquila. Elsewhere, Paul describes Timothy in particular as his co-worker, brother, beloved child and servant of Christ Jesus. So Paul was doubly blessed by the arrival of Silas and Timothy, in whom he found great encouragement. In addition, it's possible that they brought a financial gift with them from the other churches that enabled Paul to stop his tent making and once again devote himself exclusively to preaching and testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And so Paul is now back in full-time ministry. Wasn't that fruitful, however, despite his very, very best efforts? Because the Jews opposed him and became abusive in similar fashions to the way they had done before. Even though they're a different set of group, of Jews. They were so resistant to the gospel that Paul left the synagogue with a very visible demonstration of his declaration that he was now going to go to the Gentiles. There's nothing worse, is there, than putting your heart and soul into something and for it all to fall flat on its face. The lack of fruitfulness, despite his best efforts, must have caused Paul to wonder if he was really in the right place, doing the right thing. Because as I've said, Christian ministry can be a really, really hard work. It can seem a slog at times, with little to show for it. And in such circumstances, it's easy to become despondent and to feel like giving up. But it was not all doom and gloom. As Paul did not go far from the synagogue, he only went next door, like us going next door into Kendall House, perhaps. And he went next door to the house of Titius Justus, who worshipped God. And furthermore, although the Jews effectively threw Paul out of the synagogue, Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord and were baptized. That must have given huge encouragement to Paul in his ministry. However, despite the support and encouragement of Priscilla and Aquila, Silas and Timothy, plus the conversion of Crispus, it's possible that Paul was still struggling with his ministry. He needed a special encouragement to continue his ministry and to confirm that he should stay in Corinth. It was great staying with Priscilla and Aquila. It was even better having Silas and Timothy with him. But at this point in his ministry, Paul needed something else. And so we read in verse 9 that one night Paul gets encouragement direct from the Lord. And the Lord says that Paul must not be afraid. He must not be silent. And to keep on speaking, for the Lord was with him. It was confirmation that Paul was in the right place, doing the right thing. It was a virtual recommissioning of him from the Lord. And what's more, the Lord says he will protect Paul in that no one would attack him or harm him because the Lord had many people in the city who would become believers as a result of his preaching and his teaching. That must have come as a great relief to Paul. To know that no one would physically attack or harm him. It was enough to encourage him to stay for a year and a half, 18 months, to teach the word of God, even though there was still verbal abuse and opposition to his ministry. That's hard in itself, to keep on serving the Lord when the going is tough. Sometimes we need that special encouragement direct from the Lord to confirm what we are doing is what God wants from us and to enable us to keep going. The psalm yesterday morning was 121, a very familiar one, isn't it? I lift up my eyes to the hill. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I read that yesterday morning and I said, right, Lord, My help comes from you, the maker of heaven and earth. And I said, Lord, I don't need to be well today. I need to be well tomorrow. And my help for that is going to come from you. And God has fulfilled his word. He never fails. When God gives his word, he does what he says he will do. And so, Paul is encouraged direct from the Lord. And such encouragements can be like bursts of sunshine that God gives to us in our deepest crises and are evidence that God is with us and that he will see us through. So that's the third encouragement that Paul receives, something direct from the Lord. But there's a last, a fourth encouragement, which comes from a most unexpected quarter. Gallio was proconsul, and the Jews decided to bring a united attack on Paul and brought him to court. Gallio, of course, was a Roman official. But he discerned that the matter that was being brought before him was nothing to do with him at all. It was a matter of words and the law of the Jews and of them disagreeing amongst themselves about it. He therefore dismissed the case, case dismissed, as there was no charge to answer under Roman law. This is God doing exactly what he said to Paul when he gave him direct encouragement. Gallio, under God's authority, not that he realizes it, is protecting Paul so that no harm comes to him. Not so poor old Sosthenes. He doesn't do so well, as he's the one that gets beaten, while the proconsul does nothing to intervene. Now there's a warning and encouragement for us here. Encouragement can come from surprising and unexpected quarters on occasions, as it did here for Paul, from a Roman official. So we need to be open too, to realise and to receive encouragement from unexpected quarters. The warning to us is about attempting to settle religious debates before unbelieving civic authorities. And I do wonder if today we are in grave danger of trying to do that. It will not necessarily have a good outcome. So there we have, from these 18 verses, a message that is as relevant today to proclaim to our city of London as it was for Paul to proclaim in Corinth. It's the same message that he goes on to proclaim in Ephesus. And it's a message that we should not be afraid to declare. Let's take that direct encouragement that Paul had from the Lord from verse 9 and not be afraid to keep up on speaking up for what we know is in this book, which we believe to be true, that Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, is as relevant to us and our lives and those around us today. It's a message to live a humble life, one of self-denial, so that we're not caught up in all the media hype and advertising and goodness knows what else that this world throws at us to distract us from living holy and godly lives. It's a challenge to us to do that. Even a bigger challenge for the world out there. But there are four sources of encouragement for us to do that, to proclaim that message, from fellow professionals, from co-workers in ministry, from the Lord direct himself, and from some unexpected quarters at time, if only we are clued in to where that's coming from. It encouraged Paul to remain in Corinth for some 18 months, doing what the Lord had said for him to do, to keep on speaking about Jesus, Jesus the Messiah, before he left the brothers and sisters and sailed off for Syria. He took Priscilla and Aquila with him, people who had encouraged him. But he left them in Ephesus while he went on to Caesarea. And that is where we will pick up the account next week. Let's pray. O God, our Father, we thank you for the message that we have to proclaim today to our city. One that is as the same today as it was that Paul proclaimed in Corinth. Of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, him crucified and risen from the dead. And of us being enabled to live humble and holy lives by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to look for, to give and to receive encouragement in proclaiming this message, and not to be afraid, but to speak up for what we know in your word is the truth. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.